for that. Boy, what a privilege it is to be here today. Nancy and I are just blessed to be able to consider with you God's future for this place. And man, our hearts are open. About a year ago, the Lord started speaking to me about getting back into pastoral ministry. January, I began to talk to my boss, Dr. Wayne Evans, our general superintendent. And I said, you know, Wayne, I just feel like God is moving me back into a place of pastoral leadership in a local church. I mean, being a pastor to pastors is great fun sometimes. It's like herding kittens, right? We okay? And being able to help cast vision for this yearly meeting is a great, great honor and privilege. But as we've been kind of moving in our process of praying together and Wayne allowing the freedom to explore options as of May, again, it was shocking when I heard this place was open. Because I wear two hats, you know, I should have brought two hats. I'm responsible for helping to facilitate pastoral changes. You get the conflict of interest, right? And I'm feeling like, Lord, I've always thought of Gilead as a place that, wow, to be able to serve there would be kind of gratifying, fulfilling. So that's where we are. You know, and we're open to whatever God has. And I've been given a topic to share today to move into the word that is very important. Harvey Mosier, I might call him Harry a time or two. But Harvey said, you know, we don't want you bringing your old leftover stuff here. You know, your silver bullet sermons that you preach all over the place. The group said, we've been doing the gospel-centered life, and we'd like you to share on this topic. So there's no more important favorite topic that I have than allowing God's word to get into our hearts when we read it. And then to say, so what? What happens after we receive God's word? It changes our lives, right? Well, in fact, let me just turn the question around. If we are receiving God's word, if we're reflecting on God's word, if we are responding to God's word, what are some of the things that are going to happen in your life, in my life? When I receive God's word, when I read it, that means I will, you fill in the blank. I will experience, you're going to have to be, I'm kind of hard of hearing. I'll change, yeah, what else? I will grow. When I am a recipient of God's word, I will forgive. Wow, yes. That's right, John, huh? Somebody else? Gain knowledge. Knowledge and be transformed, right? Knowledge leads to transformation. I'll experience his peace, right? His purpose, his plan, and that's what we're all praying about today. I don't have a crystal ball, and none of us do, but we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Sometimes it's tempting to lean on our own understanding, right? But it gets us in trouble. Does this thing work? Kids are dismissed. I have to learn that. You gone? Where do you point this, Brian? This is on-the-job training. All right, not only were the speakers Friday, all right. Living by the book. What happens, you know, a mentor of mine, it's a lot of fun. What time do we end?
We're here all day.
Okay. Here all day. Okay. Living by the book. Howie Hendricks, one of my mentors, made that a popular saying, a popular book, and I might be redundant today. Sometimes when I preach, I am, right? But because you've been studying this idea of receiving of the Word of God in our lives, but if I am, you can just say amen, and we'll keep going, okay? You know, the story is told, and I think it's true. Several of the elders were out with Brian hunting. It's true. Do you hear that? They were out hunting, and they saw a big old buck in the field, man. Dressed out, it was awesome. They all, in unison, raised their guns and bam, 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 three elders. The buck dropped. They all went over and said, ah, I got him, I got him. But they couldn't figure out who actually shot him. So they were arguing, no, it was me. Until the game warden came along and said, "What's up, guys? Well, let me see if I can solve it." He went over and he looked at the buck. He said, "Brian got him. The preacher got him." "How do you know that?" Brad says. "How can you tell?" "Well, it's easy," the game warden said. "You see, that bullet went in one ear and out the other ear." Now, I'm hoping that's not what happens when he preaches or I preach or we teach together, believing God's word will complete us, right? Because we wanted to go a little bit further than the gray matter into the heart, right? So James, as we look at the book of James chapter 1, gives us some advice on how to live by the book, how to experience God's confidence, his effectiveness. How many like James? I remember a Bible study right here in Gilead Friends Church some 40 years ago where the teacher was going through James. I loved it. As a new Christian, I loved that. Because James is real black and white. He's real like, dude, this is the way it is, proverbial style. Like it or lump it, you know? You in or you out. In fact, he's writing to a group of Jewish Christians who are probably under a lot of persecution, a lot of stress, not unlike Christians today. But apparently they were compromising. So the half-brother of the Lord Jesus says, hey, if you've got faith, it's going to result in works. No faith or no works? What? No faith. They're connected. So as James writes, he tells us how that we can get the most out of our time together. If you're taking notes, the first instruction that he gives us is to receive the word, verses 19 through 21. James 1, verses 19 through 21. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hope that's all right. "Know this," James writes, under God's inspiration, "my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness." What's that say? "Receive it with humility." Lord, this is your word speaking to me, in other words. What is it? "The implanted word," which will do what? What do you see? It'll save your souls. It'll lead to the living word, which will save our souls. So listen up, James is saying to all of us. This is the first step, and here's the question you ask. If you're doing Bible study, this is the first question. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? If you're in a hermeneutics class, the first thing, when you read God's word, Lord, what are you, I'm open. Speak through your Holy Spirit what I need to hear, right? Because Romans 10:17 and a lot of other places in Scripture, there's a premium upon hearing, a premium upon hearing. The word says if we hear God's word, that's how faith comes. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's the word that James is talking about that will save us. It gives us his life, his faith. So the Apostle James is saying, you know, and think of the context. They didn't have the benefit of a nice new Bible like I just bought last year. This is my inaugural sermon, I think, in it, actually. Maybe start a new thing here, huh? They didn't have those books, nice leather Bibles. They had papyrus. And it was a little tough to write all that and tough to sell it. So they had to, their teaching was oral. The rabbi would speak to the disciples. The disciples then would reiterate that and begin to emulate their mentor, their teacher. So no wonder James says, be quick to what? Shut up, listen up. The word of the Lord, be still and know that I am God, right? Psalm 46:10, be still. Be open, know that I am God. So when I go to God's word, I realize I've got two ears, right? One mouth, which means I should probably listen twice as much as I speak, because sometimes I get my size 11 up there and stuck in the mouth, right? You never do that though, right? Lord, help me to listen up. Because if I listen up, I'm not going to act up and get mad and frustrated like some of the people were in James' day and some of the people are today and become angry. I'm going to be slow to speak. Lord, help me to be eager to hear what you are saying, number one. As I was preparing this message and praying about it this week, I thought of Samuel's story. Do you remember that? The time is the cycle of the judges, where it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. They weren't listening. Why weren't they listening? Because of known sin in their lives. They would sin, they'd get into trouble, experience the consequences of sin, which is never pretty. And then they'd cry out and God would send a deliverer. That's the era that Samuel's mama brought him into and said, you know, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to dedicate him to you. Sure enough, he went under the tutelage of an old priest named Eli, who certainly had some issues in his own family and the nation. And one day, little boy Samuel, he's laying there by the altar. I don't know, maybe that's why he was spoken to. I don't know if a place is important. Maybe the timing, you know, he woke him up. God ever wake you up at night? Got a word for you. Three times, right? God is so persistent, so faithful to speak to us, even sometimes when we're so too busy and conflicted and whatever to hear. He'll get our attention, won't he? Samuel! Maybe it wasn't that loud. Maybe it was Samuel. I don't know. He goes to Eli and says, what? What do you want to do? What do you think Eli's saying? Dude, go away. I'm sleeping. Get out of here. I'm reading between the lines. Three times. Finally, the third time, Eli gets it. He either gets it or he doesn't want to be bothered anymore. He says, go back and say, your servant listens. Speak. Speak to me, for your servant listens. Prayer number one is to receive the word is, Lord, speak to me, for your servant listens. We're giving him permission to speak into our lives. You know, this word, it's a love letter. It's personal to us. Right? Have you talked about that? You probably have. How many authors? 40 authors. How many years? Some 1,400 years. The Holy Spirit used all of those authors in his unique way to speak to that specific time and to our time to say, this is how much I love you. When we read this book, we hear a father who's bent on relentlessly pursuing us and having a relationship with us. Try to break through. Let him break through, sisters. Let him break through, brothers. And he shows us the problems of our sin. What happens when man drifts away from God, turns his back on God? What happens when humankind resists the Holy Spirit? We experience emptiness. We try to fill our lives with all kinds of other things that aren't going to complete. We preach and teach that every person might be complete in Christ. How does the Lord bring wholeness to us? By his Holy Spirit, Jesus. All those books point to one person, one reality, one cross, one sacrifice that pays the price for our sins so that we can experience the life he intended, abundant life. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate, the living word through this book. Amen? So number one, Lord, open up. I want to speak to you. Now, I don't know how that works for you. It works for me when I make several decisions. And again, maybe you've talked about this, but it's good to review, right? After I've read the book, I first of all have to say, Lord, again, what are you trying to say? That means I have to figure out a time. I have to make time to be with God, right? Decision number one. When is your time, your focused appointment to say, Lord, speak to me. I'm going to read your word. I need you to speak to my heart. Fill it. For me, number two is I got to have a place. Do you know where my place is? It's my chair. Out on the porch, my chair. You know what I'm talking about. I sit there. I get a big cup of Java. And I say, Lord, wake me up first of all so I can hear this word. So number one, I've got to have a time. Morning works best for me. I like to get the day started with that. I got to have a place and I got to have a plan, right? My plan is just sometimes I'll read through the scripture. I often will use a tool, a resource, our daily bread, or I'm reading, is this a place where we can be transparent? Okay. I'm reading a Beth Moore devotional. I'm in touch with my yang side. I'm sorry. He's going, no. It's good. I'm reading. She's going through the life of Christ, and it's so awesome. Portraits of devotion, okay? I'll get that passage of Scripture. We'll get into it, and I'll say, Lord, as you speak, you know, oftentimes one verse will hop out. Then I'll begin to just reflect on that and pray that verse back. That's the next point, by the way, reflecting. I'll say, Lord, what's that teach me about you, your love, your plan for my life? And a lot of times I'll write it down because sometimes when I pray, my mind wanders. Anybody like that? We got a Florida room. I'll be in that chair and I'll say, ooh, squirrel. But if I'm writing down what that verse is saying to me, I'm staying focused, right? Get a little journal there. I say, Lord, and what's that say about me? God so loved the world, it gave his son. Wow. Love. I often wander from that love, Lord. I confess that. I need that. But thank you, Lord, that you gave your only son for me to get back into that. And just begin to pray that back. Because, you know, the word is God's primary way of receiving or speaking to us, right? And when we pray that back, we know it's in his will. And guess what? He wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to us today. And not just today, every day. Not just in that time, but through the day. And he will. As we're saying, Lord, I want to receive your word. Point number two is... That we begin to reflect on the word. Number one initiates faith, right? The second step activates our faith as we reflect on the implications of his voice. What's God saying, number one, historically? Number two, let's get personal. Not just information. The Lord's using this for transformation, right? What's it mean for me right now? Hearing the word. I love the illustration James uses here. He illustrates with two people, right? By the way, do you know in your heart what happened? There are two kinds of people in the world. Did you know that? Those who divide the world into two kinds of people and those who don't. It's true. Think about that. That went over some heads. Okay. His first illustration is having to do with a mirror and somebody who forgets and somebody who remembers. Begin with me at verse 22. Be doers of the word. James writes, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, he goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. The word intently means he just kind of glances, he doesn't really get it, right? But, verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, she will be what? Be blessed. I like, he's pretty practical, right? Today I looked in the mirror at the Mosier place and I said, good Lord, it's morning. Oh. Did you say good morning, Lord, or you say good Lord, it's morning? I hope it said good morning, Lord, right? I mean, you look in the mirror, right, and what do? Ladies, men? Do you take care of it, or do you just kind of look in your mirror and say, forget it? Need an extreme home maker or face maker or whatever. You know, you see the spinach in your teeth after lunch or somebody's pointed it out. What do? Do you take care of it to become more presentable? You just blow it off and go the other way. James is saying, you know, that first person who just looks in the mirror, doesn't do anything about it, is like a guy who looks at the word. The word is a mirror, right? We hold the word up to our selves, and it shows us our need, our flaws, our imperfections, and wants to heal those things. Are you like the first guy who forgets the spinach in the teeth and the jacket's all messed up, the hair's a mess, the makeup's gone? Or do you do something about it? You know, I was reading some stats from a medical event that they had several years ago. People were gathering together to talk about the issue of healthcare in the world and how they could enable people, encourage people to tackle this problem of what's going on in the health industry. Well, there was good news. Study after study after study identified five behavioral issues that if people dealt with it, they would be they'd be fine. 80% of our health problems, too much eating, ouch. Too much drinking, smoking, and stress. And not enough exercise. Folks, you can fix that. I can fix that. Let's hold the mirror up. You know, my son was a personal trainer. He would go to a mirror and take a person like me with some bulges and whatevers and say, you can look like this. If what? If you let me work you. There's the plan. You've got to allow me to work in your life. And that's what the Spirit says to us. Are you going to blow the mirror off? Are you going to look in the mirror and say, wow, Nate Jackson, go ahead. You know, oftentimes, 90% of the time is what these researchers said, people have not changed their lifestyle. A Lifeway research study, I believe, if I'm recalling the information that you've maybe read, suggests that 37% of us, that is those of us who are regular church attenders, say that the Word of God has no practical impact in our lives. 37%. That's like practical atheism, isn't it? Functional atheism? Boy, Lord, I need to be humble enough to pray and to allow you, as I reflect on this word, to help me to get it. That person looks in the mirror, they perceive it, they get it, they do it. Not to be confused with a Nike commercial, right? How's that happen? You know, in 2 Timothy 3, I had some note sheets out there. If you don't have them, they're green on the thing. There's a little diagram. I'm going to have to sketch that out on my little air illustrator. Okay, are you ready? 2 Timothy 3:16, you know that verse, right? God's word is inspired. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. And it's useful. It's profitable. Verse 17, Paul writes to Timothy for several things, right? Where does that start? Verse 17 says, first of all, it's profitable for teaching us what to believe and what to do. Doctrine shows us the path. Do you see the path right here? Everybody look up here. This is the path. Doctrine shows us how to get on the path, how to have a relationship with God. Secondly, Paul says, it's also good for rebuking. How many of us need a good rebuke every once in a while, right? A good stand up and like the old Aquavelva commercials, right? Because when we get off the path, we go downward, right? So the Word of God shows us where we have sinned and how we've gotten off the path, but that doesn't stop there. The third thing it does is it corrects us. It tells us how to make a turnaround, how to repent and get back right with God and get back on the path. And then it trains us in righteousness. That's what discipleship's all about. That's what we're about, evangelism and discipleship. How do you stay on that path, right? Lord, how do we do that? Why? So that the person of God might be equipped for every good and righteous work. God wants to equip us. God wants to speak to us today, right? And he does that by allowing his word to impact our lives when we reflect on it. Susan Atkins looked in the mirror. Oh, probably a long time ago. I've used this illustration before. 40, 50 years ago. Does that name sound familiar? She was imprisoned and was serving a life sentence for murder. She was a part of the Charles Manson murders back in the day. Part of that, willingly. But as she was in prison, she opened up the scripture. I don't know if she's bored or whatever, but she just opened up the Bible and began to read it. You know, as the Lord began to speak through that word, she met the living word, Christ. Her life was changed. She became a Christian. You know, and though she was in prison, she was freed. And you know, I did a little fact check this week, because I hadn't used this illustration in a while. It's one of those former sermons, Harvey, that I used. But I did a fact check, and it showed that she is finally free from her earthly prison. She's seeing clearly now the Savior. She's in heaven. And it was very powerful, her testimony, as she was on her deathbed. And I wouldn't show it in church. I thought about, man, maybe I'd show that. But it's pretty graphic. But she is very ill. Her pastor is right there. And you know what she's doing with him? He's reading the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my, she says, shepherd. He leads me beside the still water. She's claiming that scripture for her translation out of this world, because we're all going to translate out of this world, sisters, brothers. And we're going to need to know the living hope that comes as we allow the living word to set us free. Amen? But then there's a final question we ask. Number three is the so what question. Okay, well, let's talk about, we read the word, we live by the word. What do we respond to the word. James is so right on here in 26 and 27. He says very clearly that the word of God will affect our, quote, religion. The old boy says, do people around here enjoy their religion? The pastor said, them that got it does. So we're talking about religion in a sense of not a righteousness that's by works that we earn or whatever. God's not opposed to effort, but he is opposed to earning. It's the kind of outward evidence of an inward faith. That's how James is using the word religion, okay? Not us. But he says in verse 26, and he does not bridle his tongue. This is where it gets practical. But deceives his heart. This person's religion is what? It's worthless. Well, religion also, verse 27, affects how we see people around us. It's pure and undefiled before God, the Father, and it's this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to see people who are hurting, who are in bondage, and help them. And then to show a sense of holiness to the world, to keep oneself unstained from the world. Simply put, I think that what James is saying is, if we're saying, so what, Lord, then our lifestyle is going to be different. It's going to reflect Jesus. That's the demonstration phase of this particular passage. If you're a follower of Christ, if I'm a follower of Christ, we're going to start, again, not just being informed, saying, well, did you hear what Pastor so-and-so said, or my teacher here said, or whatever? No, we're going to say, the Word of God says, this is what we're called to do and to be and to do. Now, as I was thinking of this verse, forgive me, I thought of an illustration that maybe some of you won't relate to. There is an event happening tonight at 8 o'clock that we're going to pray about here. No, not really. Think Matthew Dellavedova. Is that man all in? Some of you don't know. He's a guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's all over the floor. He's not a real talented guy. He's not gifted like a LeBron James or somebody like that. But man, that guy has 150% effort and energy, doesn't he? And when I see Matthew Dellavedova getting in Curry's face, I just love it. And I say, you know what, man, I wish and I hope I can have the same fervor in my Christian walk that that guy has on the basketball court. Lord, may it be a reality that affects how I speak, my heart, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Lord, help me to speak like a Charles Robinson, kindly. Lord God, help me to speak words that build up and not defile, not tear down. Lord, help me to see the world through the lens of your eyes. As the Father sent me, Jesus says, so send I you. You're his representative in the world. You take his place where you work, where you go to school, where you family. Is that a word? Can we make that a verb? That's where the rubber hits the road, right? Boy, Lord, help me to live the so what, because if I don't, here's what John says. 1 John 2:6. Wow, this verse was in the stuff that we've been reading here. Whoever says he abides in him, that is Jesus, ought to do what? We sang about it. Ought to walk, even as he walked. John says, if you don't do that, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to the world. Just stop pretending. God, help me, help us to be the disciples that reflect your love, your compassion, your voice to the world that needs it so much. Whatever the hang-ups and hassles are, that's God's call to your life. Amen? It's God's call to my life. And I'll tell you what, Jesus lived that out. Jesus challenged us in that. He said, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I tell you to do? Then he says, it's even more convicting. Someday when we all go where Susan Atkins has gone, and we stand before him and we say, you are Lord. Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Did I do this in your name? We're going to hear, who are you? I didn't know you. That's about grace. Number one is receiving that grace. Lord Jesus, by your loving, unmerited favor, I receive it, and Lord God, by your empowerment, I want to live it. Are you all in for that, like Della Vedova? Beth Moore. Can I quote her? She puts it in perspective. I read this week. It's just God's timing is really neat. Listen to this. This is good. When God's word is deliberately internalized, it will be authentically externalized because it's no longer what we do, it's what we are. Boy, Lord, I need that. It's no longer what I do. Yes, I do, but it's what I am. That's part of the fabric of who Christ has created. Not just information, but transformation, right? Into the image of Jesus. Wow. You ready to pray about that, brother? Let's do it. You know, as Brian comes, there was a guy who was in a church, pastor that maybe you might know, but he said this guy used to come up to him after every service. You know how we kind of go back and greet people at the door and say, hey, how's it going? And join well, you know, nice sermon. You're supposed to say that. You know that, right? Nice sermon. Anyway. This guy would go out and he'd say to the pastor, the answer's yes. What's the question? And he'd leave. Pastor's standing there going, what? Give me your best what look. Yeah, good. Next week, pastor, the answer's yes. What's the question? Third week he comes by and says, you know, pastor, the answer's yes. What's the question? And Brian, that pastor says, what are you talking about? And the guy was able just to say, you know what? Since Jesus Christ came into my life, he was a new believer, I am just so thankful and grateful for what he's done that I'm willing to do anything. Man, your grass need mowed? Do the babies need tended to? Does the sanctuary need the chairs put away? I'm contextualizing. The answer is yes. What's the question? Is your answer yes today? If it is, I want you to stand and pray with me. Even if it's not, I want you to stand and pray with me, okay? Let's give the Lord our best yes to his glory. First, well, let's go to Romans 12, right? Surrendering everything right now, which is your holy worship, acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Man, Lord, the answer is yes. What's the question? Let's pray.
Good Lord. Lord Jesus, we come here as brothers, Chris and I, as servants of this family.
Thank you. At Gilead. That,
yes. We're your servants first.
Amen.
But as Chris has so clearly and with freedom spoken your word because you've empowered him, and it is your word and it does penetrate. Mm. Lord, we ask that it would transform us.
That's right, Lord.
That perfect example, really, of Matt Della Vedova is so appropriate for Gilead. May we all give all that we have to you. It's to your glory. Lord, we pour out ourselves. Lord, if we could, as Paul said, as a drink offering.
Amen.
Lord, pour us out. That we would be empowered to, as transformed ambassadors of the word, to affect this community with the love of Jesus Christ and
Thank
with the
you,
compassion
Jesus. Yes,
of our Savior and with the passion to serve. And so now, precious, precious Jesus,
oh, Lord, thank
may
you.
Your word
touch each
indwell
and every person,
us,
Lord God,
empower
pray,
us, and change All us, that we would act upon it. And the people of Gilead said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Final word, the Lord bless the potato bar, right? True Harvey, anoint those potatoes to give us strength. If you have a final question or thought or you want prayer for anything at all, we're going to hang out in front and be glad to talk and pray. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful day in Jesus.